Last week, we did the song in front of a guest, and I was very embarrassed. Could you sense that?
Were you?
Could you say, yeah, I didn't, because I didn't chime in. Like, when we're alone, I'll go, the Brian Deuter Show podcast featuring Cody Goff. Once again, it's on the internet, because it's not on the air, because sports are on, and we're not on, so we do the podcast, because we got nothing else to do. Yes, we do, but we come in anyway. It's the Brian Deuter Show podcast featuring Cody Goff.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, just lay down a nice bass beat. See, I'll do that in here when it's just us. I'm getting more like Jonathan Brandmeier, where I need to pull the drapes down and have nobody see me, and I just jump around like a lunatic.
Yeah, he wore a cloak with a hood over it. So
I wouldn't know. I never got to see him.
Right. I've never seen the guy.
I shouldn't say that. I did see him once. Oh. I got to do crosstalk with him.
How was it?
All I could do was sit there like a slack-jawed idiot going, oh, my God. I mean, I was talking, but in my head I was like, oh, my God, I'm doing crosstalk with Jonathan Brandmeier, and I'm on after him. It was crazy for a guy who idolized Brandmeier to be sitting there, and it wasn't until after where I told Johnny like three or four times that he and I had personally interacted over the years before I ever did radio or anything like that, and he freaked out. He was like, what? You're blowing my mind. And now you're here? Now you're doing a show here? And you did? And I was like, yeah. Because he pulled me up on stage one night at a show at a club in Indiana.
What?
Yeah, you know, we went to see the Leisure Suits, Johnny and the Leisure Suits, and it was Black Wednesday. I got off stage. I was doing shows at KJ Riddle's in Orland Park. So I finished my show, and my buddy was waiting for me, CB, one of the Insomniacs.
Yeah, CB.
So CB was waiting for me. We drove by, picked up Debbie, because at that point, I think at that point we were still living in Griffith, Indiana. We picked up Debbie, and we went to the this Club D in, I think it's in Highland, or it was in Highland, it's not there anymore. Club D, it was a rock and roll club, where they'd have, you know, it was just a big bar club where they'd do bands. So Johnny and the Leisure Suits were there, and, you know, the shows were always fantastic, because it was, the band was really, really good. And it was, so we got up toward the front of the stage, muscled our way up, and I remember it. I was wearing a blue silk shirt that was about the color of those shopping bags over there, like a teal, almost teal blue shirt. And I forget what song it was, but Johnny pulled me up on stage, was dancing and jumped on my back, and it was a crazy thing.
That's awesome.
So this, I was just a fan, you know, and then I ran into him somewhere else, and a woman I was dating at the first Comic Relief. Do you remember Comic Relief? It was a big, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, and Whoopi Goldberg started it. It was a big comedy festival for the homeless. Mm. And so it was, the first one was out in Los Angeles. A lot of them were out there. But the first one was out there, and they ran like a little comedy contest here, Brandmeier at the Loop. And the winner got tickets to go, you know, stay at the Universal Sheraton, which is where I saw Telly Savalas, because he lived in the penthouse of the Universal Sheraton. It was the first time I ever saw a grown man wearing clogs. A lot of things had a lot of elements to this story.
A lot of sharp, clear memories.
There's certain things. As you look, Cody, when you get to be my age, before the dementia sets in, which I'm sure and a lot of you are probably thinking, the dementia obviously set in a long time ago. Because I could be fabricating this entire tale.
That's what I'm leaning towards.
But I'm not, I don't think. Mm. I'm pretty sure it happened. I know Comic Relief happened. I know there was a Sheraton at Universal in Los Angeles. It's not there anymore, I don't. Yeah, it still is. Anyway, so the girl I was with, the woman I was dating, won this contest. And so we got to go out to Comic Relief. And after, we got to go to the big HBO after party. Oh, yeah.
What?
That's right. Talking to Richard Lewis, talking all these comics, talking to Johnny. He had seen, so I had seen Johnny a lot. This all goes back to how do we get on Brandmeier? Oh, because I was saying I wouldn't sing in front of other people.
You're not wanting to be seen.
Right.
Right.
So all of this is in my mind when I was filling in. I forget. This was I think it was after the Dark Ages at GN, or right before, or during, or there was a, I don't know. Couldn't have been during, because they never.
Yeah, no.
I was almost fired.
Right.
But I was filling in, I don't know if it was Bill and Wendy or John, I don't know who was following Brandmeier at this point. I said, well, they don't do crosstalk with Johnny, right? And he's like, no. And this was when Johnny was doing shows out of the Showcase. And all of a sudden we get this call, and Johnny wants to do crosstalk. I was like, and for the uninitiated, crosstalk is when you hear, like, when Steve talks to Bill and Wendy, or Bill and Wendy talk to Bertrand, and Bertrand talks to John, and John talks to Roe, and so on.
Like an on-air passing of the torch.
Correct.
To the next show.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Thank you.
I wish I was that eloquent.
You see the handoff.
That was beautiful.
You hear the handoff. It's the
baton. It's like the radio relay race, and you're handing the baton, and you hope you don't drop it.
The oral baton.
Right.
A-U-R-A-L.
I know how to spell it.
Just helping.
But some people want to pass an oral baton, but that, you know, usually in a parked car somewhere. But anyway, he said, Johnny wants to do crosstalk. And it was amazing. So back to your point, having never seen him, I did see him a couple times.
Nice.
I had seen him prior to his time at WGN, and I saw him a couple times at WGN.
I'm glad you had that experience.
And then one time, it was 10:02. And he ran past me on the loading dock like he was on fire, trying to get out of the building that fast. Jumped into his car. Zroom. He was off. And now, who knows? He's getting inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in a couple weeks.
Wow.
That's right.
Big news.
Yeah, big news. Listen, I know all the big news. I got that from our good friend Dave Plyer.
It's
public record.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. They vote and they know... Oh, of course, they tell the nominees, or they tell the people getting inducted, because they want them at the ceremony.
Right, it's announced.
Because what good is having a, we're inducting all these people, and nobody shows up, and eight of them are dead. It's like, woohoo!
I told you about the podcast awards that we won, right, at Curiosity? And
yes, Curiosity. Once again, let's give another shout-out. Curiosity winning the podcast. I'm down with that, yeah?
Thanks. But did I tell you about the acceptance speeches?
No.
The Curiosity Daily show, it was a finalist in the Best Science and Medicine category, the 13th Annual Podcast
Beating
Awards.
Beating NASA, if I remember correctly.
Beating NASA.
National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Yeah.
Known for their science.
That's a feather in my cap. So we're a finalist, and there's 10 finalists in each category. Every finalist was required to submit a acceptance.
Urine test?
That would have been different.
Okay. I thought they were checking for PEDs.
All 200
podcast
finalists.
Podcast enhancement drugs.
I should have asked. It was right.
You were trying to roll right over it. But certain bad jokes I'm sticking with. Once they pop into my head, I'm not letting them go.
That's fine.
Why waste a synapse?
It's the Brian Noonan and Cody Goff show featuring Cody Goff starring Brian Noonan.
Right. All right.
If I remember correctly.
All right. So 10 finalists.
There's 20 categories, 10 finalists.
That's 200
finalists in.
Just in all of them, not just science and medicine.
Total across 20 categories, right. 200 finalists. And they all were required to submit an acceptance video before the ceremony, which is when the winners were announced. Every single finalist had to have an actual submission.
So even the losers had already done a speech saying they were winners.
Yeah.
That's like when they print T-shirts and hats for the World Series or the NBA Finals, and one of the teams isn't going to win. So now are you telling me that people in third world countries are listening to acceptance speeches of losers from the podcast awards? Is that what they get? That's what you get to listen to. Here, I know you're starving, and there's a drought, and your ox just died, and you don't have anything to wear, but except that, pick your team that lost shirt from wherever for the reference. But now you get to listen to acceptance speeches from losers at a podcast award.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to 2018.
What a making the world horrible again.
It's not the best event in the world. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of people that participate. It's a big deal. But I will say some things could be maybe tweaked.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything.
But you won.
And we won. So
you won.
Yeah.
You beat NASA.
See, I would say that doesn't need to be tweaked. I would say that, my Best Science and Medicine podcast should definitely not be tweaked.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That's a good part. It's the best
winner,
part.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Well, so, we've talked now about John Brandmeier and about my podcast.
Right.
Two things that are no longer have anything to do with WGN Radio.
Correct.
Which is pretty hilarious to me.
Well, sure, that's right, and we're only 10 minutes in, so that's not bad. We haven't wasted that much time talking about things that don't matter.
Right. Yeah. Again, you told me before this season of podcast started, you said, want to line up what we're doing every episode.
I have everything. I have a lot of things.
Let's reveal the plan. What's going on?
I know you don't know.
I'm very curious.
All right.
You teased a couple things.
I did tease a couple things. I'll explain to you why our on-air shows will not be as holiday-centric as they have been in the past. Why the sadness.
Concerns me.
Of course, it should.
Trepidation.
Yeah, you should be terrified.
Terrifization?
All right, let's get to it. Let's stop beating around the bush. Let's stop dangling it in front of people's faces, because we'll also talk about a medical exam, when you think you should leave a job, what we can't talk, or what we may delve into a topic that we did not get into on the air on Sunday. But not that one especially, but the Republican governor of Kentucky has made a statement that I can only categorize as idiotic, imbecilic, dumb. What other synonyms do you need for a bad, bad comment?
Poopy head.
Yeah, just completely removed from reality.
All right.
You know, and I don't know if it's because he's had too much moonshine. I don't know if because he's in Kentucky, there's been some sort of inbreeding.
Now,
I don't know what it is.
Why'd you have to stay the Republican governor? Why must you sow division?
Well, I'm not sowing division. He is the Republican governor of Kentucky.
Yeah, but if you follow a senator on Twitter, they'd never say what party they are.
Okay, well, I'm reading this from the fake media, the Chicago Tribune.
Wait, this isn't
the mainstream media.
I thought we were doing that last.
Yeah, we are. But I'm answering your question.
Oh, you're still gonna.
I'm answering your question. It says the Republican. So they just identify
him.
Yeah, no, that's not his name.
I am Governor the Republican.
I am the Republican, like The Rock. Now for the people's idiocy. Woo! I'm combining The Rock and Ric Flair and stupidity and jamming them all together. All right, so we're going to talk about that too. And then you're going down to, you're going down to where this, what he said may seem like Socrates.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because you're going. Turn it up. There's my hint of where Cody's going. All right, so here's why Christmas isn't Christmas anymore at WGN. It's very sad. You know how Tree Time, over the last I don't know how many years, had decorated the Allstate Showcase studio?
Yeah.
In a beautiful, beautiful way. Trees and garland and lights. And what was my favorite part? Every year of that decoration.
Santa's crotch,
exactly. The fireplace where Santa's crotch was prominently displayed. Just Santa's lower torso, his ho-ho-hos, his candy cane, everything was there, and we enjoyed it immensely every year. It was the highlight of the Christmas season for me.
You loved that crotch.
I don't know, because I'm a child. And it was so funny that we couldn't have the whole Santa. We just, I got it. It was Santa coming down or going up the chimney. But it was from the belt down. Like, all it needed was a motor in it so it would have swiveled a little bit. And I would have never left the studio. I would have brought Debbie and Molly down there on Christmas morning to open gifts. We would have slept there hoping that that Santa's groin would just keep a train keeper running all night long. Well, I came in tonight, and I happened to walk back to engineering and down to we're in what they like to call Studio D down here. Studio A is where the Rokan show broadcasts out of. A lot of the shows broadcast out of there. And next to it is a big performance studio. Where if you're hearing bands here on WGN, there's a good chance they're coming out of this beautiful performance studio. So Tree Time has put a gorgeous, gorgeous Christmas tree and wreath. It's beautiful. As the Tree Time trees are all, they always look terrific.
In the performance studio.
In the performance studio.
Okay, which you can see from Studio A. You walk by it.
Well, if you look up to it's in Studio B. So if you look up here, Studio B is,
you can look on
is the
website.
Performance. Yes.
On the
well,
webcams.
I don't know if that'll...
It might be on the webcams.
It might be on the webcams.
If you go on WGNradio.com
Hold
and
on,
look,
let
at
me
the,
look.
Look at the webcams. I mean, we're pre-recording this, but
schedule.
Assuming one of the feeds of the cameras is that studio, you might be able to view it
well,
on WGNradio.com. If there's live music, you'll probably be able to see it.
If there's live music, you can see it. If, like, now the Blackhawks game is on, and so they don't have the cameras on, so you cannot see it on the website. But anyway, so they put it, the wreath is gorgeous and the tree is beautiful. They always, every year the trees change and the trees are more ornate than the year before. So
agreed.
The tree is gorgeous.
Yeah.
However, that's it. There won't be any more decorations in any other studios.
Hmm.
So where I used to like to walk in and be, it was like broadcasting from the North Pole because Santa's, you know, icicle was hanging right there. Santa is no more. The Santa's crotch will not be at WGN Radio this year.
I feel like Christmas has been ruined.
Well, I don't know who to blame. I could blame the Grinch. I don't know.
Maybe Mrs. Claus
now,
wanted
granted,
to steal it back.
Granted, I understand Tree Time can't be decorated. You know, now instead of one studio, we have three giant studios and a performance, or three giant studios. So I understand, you know, they're in business. They can't be, you know. Plus, they're probably thinking, well, you know, it's not on Michigan Avenue like it was before. And I what they did is beautiful. So I'm not saying they're wrong or at fault. I'm just listen, Tree Time for me. The tree and the wreath are gorgeous, unparalleled. Can you bring us back Santa's crotch? You don't have to do. You know, listen. I'm not asking you to put in a lot of intense man hours for the beautiful garland. You know, as I said, the stuff you put up is gorgeous. And I don't know, maybe management told them, listen, we can't, we've heard Noonan talk about this every year. We can't have Santa's crotch anymore. Gets him too crazy. He can't focus on the show.
Maybe it's your fault.
You think it's my fault that I complimented this, that this was like the centerpiece of my holiday enjoyment at the station?
You lost what you loved. If you
how many times has that happened?
If you truly loved it, you should let it go.
I did, but now I'm hoping it comes back. Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I understand that if you love something, set it free. Well, I didn't have it to set it free because I would wrestle Santa's crotch to the ground and keep it. I would have not let it go. I wouldn't have loosed my grip.
You think you would have won?
Yeah, it's a torso, a lower torso. There's no brainstem to control the legs. It's just, you know, nothing. Just, you know.
Maybe it's a really tiny head. What if it's really disproportionate?
I didn't stare that hard at
Santa
this.
Just has
I didn't
a
stare that hard at
giant
this
crotch and legs, but it's otherwise some kind of
oh,
small.
Oh, wow, some weird, like in Men in Black?
Yeah.
Where it's just this tiny little nub.
Like a Goomba from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
That would be weird.
Not the game, just the movie.
All right.
Or what are you looking at? Is people walking around?
Yeah, the chief engineer popped his head in.
Scotty?
Friends on reservation till.
Scotty?
Yep. Yeah, I need more power.
Yikes.
All right. Well, I don't know. You think somebody... Who's going to be waiting to come in at this hour?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe he just wanted to see because the lights were on and stuff. He didn't have anybody with him. Don't worry.
Hmm.
You want to go check?
No.
All right. Yeah, I don't... Don't care. What are we going to... Anyway, so
you
that's
knock.
It. It's. I love the decorations that are there. And I'm not. I don't want. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings. I don't want this misconstrued. I love. I love the tree and the wreath and the decorations that Tree Time put up. I just miss my Santa crotch. That's all. You know. Because I would do the show. I'll be honest. I'd do the show from Studio B.
I'm looking forward to seeing how 303 East Wacker decorates its lobby.
Yes, that
because
should be nice.
Because it's got a lot of competition with Tribune Tower.
Yeah.
That lobby was pretty
sweet. That lobby was solid.
I mean, that lobby is irreplaceable. Like, legit, it's one of the most incredible places.
Until Chance the Rapper moves in, then who knows what's going to happen down there.
Oh, God. It's one of my favorite like rooms in Chicago is the
it's very cool.
Entryway, the lobby of Tribune Tower. It's just incredible.
If you've never been there, you've missed out.
It's seriously, it's incredible. So,
yeah.
I mean, 303 Wacker's never going to touch it. Although we have fish. That's kind of cool.
Those two aquariums are serious business.
Those fish are pretty sweet. There's like a cafe or something that's probably open during the day, which is never when I'm here. So.
Yeah, it's a little bake. I think it's called Bake For You or Bake For Me or Bake.
There is a coffee shop. I don't remember what kind, but the first time I ever came to this building, first of all, I didn't know what floor we were on.
Well, they didn't tell us. So we just went floor to floor. Hello, do you have a radio station here?
Nope.
Oh, floor two. Hi, do you have a radio station? Shut up. No, call security. Okay.
So I walked into the building to go to a producer's meeting. I have no idea where I'm going. Thank goodness I ran into Elif, John Williams' producer. And she's just on her way up to the meeting, but she was stopping by to get coffee, which it must have been early in the days because now the station's got 7 coffee machines. We just walk around and hit whatever button you want. But there is a coffee shop downstairs, and she bought me a cup of coffee.
Did she really?
How sweet of her.
Did she think you were getting fired?
You know, probably.
Did she think you were a boss? She forgot who you were.
She definitely didn't think I was a boss.
Okay.
She probably thought, oh, this
part-timer. Maybe she thought you were boss.
She probably thinks
Mr. 1976.
She's in the money. She's making bank doing that full-time producing gig. I got the part-time producing gig. She knew.
Again, she knew which wagon to hitch her, which star to hitch her wagon to.
She's higher up on the economic ladder at WGN Radio.
Sure.
Which is.
Of course. That's fantastic. All right, so let's move on. Because Christmas is ruined.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry to hear it too.
Maybe Santa will bring you a Santa's crotch.
Maybe I make one.
Maybe.
And I just bring it in.
Make a flat Santa's crotch.
Flat Santa's crotch. That's you know I love crafts.
You do.
I don't know why.
crafts are great.
Crafts are fun.
You should be on artistic license with Rachel Woodall. She's coming back to WGN Plus.
I saw. Look at the plug for Rachel Woodall.
Yeah. Wait. What's her? Screen,
I think that's the one. Rachel Woodall Media, I believe, is her new Facebook page for that.
Okay, but we can call her Rachel Woodall.
Sure,
right?
You can. Yeah,
I don't know if she's got like a radio name or a.
I think that's her radio name.
I don't even know her other name.
I do, and it's not that.
Because sometimes people in radio, like Craig Collins, who we talked about on the Facebook Live, his last name is technically something else, but he goes by Craig Collins,
which is cumbersome. Because hi, I'm Craig, technically something else. It was hard to fit on a business card and a driver's license.
Right.
And it's just a mouthful to say.
But he did it.
Yeah, he's turned it into something.
But anyway,
for him.
But Rachel Woodall is coming back to WGN Plus with her show Artistic License, and she posted on Facebook and said if you have found anything artsy in your adult life, you should be on my
flat,
show.
Making flat Mollies and flat Santas and flat Cody and Brian's that'll go everywhere.
Yes, you absolutely. Well, you're also playing the drums.
And Balron.
Dude,
yeah,
you are super artistic.
And I'm sure. Okay.
In actual real ways. You've got to go on that show. I will hook you up. I have met her once ever.
I know.
Maybe twice. You probably have met her more times.
I have access to things with her real name.
And yet, I think I do too. And yet, I will still introduce you on, what do you want, Twitter, Instagram?
I'm on all of them, except Snap. I don't Snap.
I don't Snap.
No. Snaps.
I did Snap, and then I got I was on Snapchat, and then shortly after I started dating my now wife. After a while, you're like, this is just for cheating. Like, that's the only reason I would have this.
Yeah, because I got an account, and then I was like, oh, I don't want to. Like, didn't you have to import all your friends from something else, and it was like
all these sites want all your data. I don't know. I know a lot of people use it for stuff, but I don't want to use it for that. Like, if I have an app that I know with reasonable certainty I can send a message and have it not have a record of it, all I'm going to want to do is just elicit inappropriate. Like, I'm going to try to buy drugs from you, and I don't even buy drugs.
Right.
Or do
drugs. And you
drugs.
Know I wouldn't sell them to you.
And you wouldn't. But I would just.
Because you can't afford my drugs.
Right. I would just start asking people for drugs or for nudes.
Right. And sending pics of Santa's crotch.
Yeah. And everyone's just going to be like, what are you doing? And I'm going to be like, well, there's no record of it. So I have to say it.
But there is.
It's a compulsion. And that's the worst part is there is.
There is.
So I'm, thank God that in my back in my flirtatious days, I never sent any,
the DPs.
What?
The blank picks.
Whoa. DPs.
The D picks.
Oh, yeah, Yep, got it.
You know.
Got it, yep.
The Richard photographs.
I thought D was double and that there are many things.
There's a different, yes, and that is a thing. That's not how I meant it. I meant as the Richard photographs.
I like doing a show off the air sometimes.
Well, sure.
Because
if we did this at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, you know, things would burst into flames.
I get a phone call. I don't know. I'm pretty sure one of our guests dropped an F-bomb and none of us hit the panic button in time. And
nobody.
The blowback we got was two texts saying, LOL, F-bombs live on the air.
Yeah. We love it when you guys swear.
I didn't admit that. That never happened. No. You dreamed that. Turn this off, listener. Yeah.
No, go back and try to find it.
All right.
Challenge.
Oh, man. You know,
there has to be a statute of limitations.
No, I don't. I'm not worried about
it. You think the FCC is going to come to this one day?
Well, I don't think our logger goes back that far.
Oh.
You know, the
last time we were on,
our web guy mentioned that. So, you know, like if a celebrity dies or something, you want to find clips.
Sure, of course.
Right. That happened with a bunch, you know, a lot of times, like they'd find a clip from Spike interviewing somebody in the morning show if they die or whatever. Well, so Dave, our web guy, our amazing web guy, has been here since before I started at WGN.
He's, before the web, I think.
But possibly. He's incredible. He's the nicest dude. And he has asked producers, like, oh yeah, make sure that you upload your old podcast to this folder so we've got, you know, kind of like a record so we can quickly pull in case, like, you know, we can search Bowie when David Bowie dies and, you know, we'll get some relevant content. So I told him, I was like, well, I have all of Brian's podcasts. I have a digital record of, except for, it does, there is a cutoff point.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the Hairy Balls podcast.
And that's what we... I can't believe that still gets people still mention that.
People still, and I'm not, that's the name of a person.
Yes. His, an Indiana politician.
Right. His first name was Harry and his last name was B-A-A-L-S.
Yes.
And we did a segment on the overnight and we were getting calls for years about it. But.
And that's gone forever.
But I know, barring that cutoff, I have.
If I know the date, I may, because when we were doing overnights, Aubrey, our engineer, Aubrey would record every show for me.
That's right.
So I have plastic tubs full of CDs of old shows.
My God.
I would have to hire someone to go through and imagine the horror of having to sit through all of those overnight shows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, yes. Dave asked for these, and I said, well, I have a bunch of files. Could I just send you, like, a link? And he's like, well, how much do you have? And I said something like, I think it was, like, 12 gigabytes or something of just our show. And, and he was just like... Yeah, why don't you put that on a flash drive? It's like, okay.
They're not going to... We didn't even know he did that much, that he's been here that long. What? Huh?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
We've got it all. Anyway, sorry, I sidetracked a bunch.
And I went looking for one the other day, and I couldn't find it. But then I remember you had sent it to me in another format, so I was able to find that.
Well, exciting news. Google supposedly at some point has plans to start automatically transcribing all podcasts.
Oh,
now,
really?
They have incentive to do this because then they can keyword search and monetize.
Oh.
If you think about it.
Right.
So it's in Google's best interest to do this. Now, with machine learning technology, a lot of robots are able to transcribe things. I signed up for a service earlier today, some Israeli service that's a podcast service that takes news type podcasts and makes them available to a network of stations.
Okay.
And since Curiosity Daily is basically three science stories a day, like in a news format,
right.
I thought, okay, well, let me put us on here, see what happens. And there was a box you could click and say, check here if you want to transcribe your last 10 episodes. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll do that.
Sure, let's see. Yeah, we'll work.
It pulled it from my RSS feed, and in about 10 minutes, it just spat back out 10 transcriptions.
And now, did you read them? Were they accurate?
I haven't read them for accuracy yet, but that's how, I mean, you know, companies are saying, companies have things that to some degree of accuracy can just transcribe things.
And that may be fine for a straight up news story. I would love to see a machine try to transcribe the stuff that we wield out here on a weekly basis. See if there's anything nuts going on there.
I want to see the speaker names because, you know, that sometimes they spit it out like a script.
Yes.
So it's like Brian says this, Cody says this. What about the puppet podcast? Like, would it identify Montesquieu as a speaker?
Yeah, Montesquieu.
Tawdry Sex.
Oh, I forgot about Tawdry Sex.
Oh, how can you forget about Tawdry?
There were a lot of
Randy phone calls.
There was a lot of bad puppets.
Emperor Finahito.
We miss the Emperor. There was a lot. Then there were a lot of voices that never had names.
Those continue. That's an ongoing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a tragic thing. Well, that'll be interesting interesting to see. I was going to say you could take them down to, because you're going to Alabama. That was where we were hinting that you were going. You're going to Alabama. I'd say take them and read them there, but people might burn you at the stake as a witch if they see you reading. You know, not to say that people in Alabama don't read, but, you know, I don't know how much they read. I don't know if they, you know, after you get through some, I'm sure they don't read like the Harry Potter books because that's sorcery. That's the devil's magic. They're not going to get into any of that.
You know, there is a NASA facility where I'm going.
Is there really?
Huntsville, Alabama has a NASA facility.
Well, Huntsville doesn't really count as Alabama.
Really?
Hey, it's kind of a big city. Big enough.
Is it really?
They got NASA there? They got science?
I don't know how big it is.
Well, what is, it's not like two guys who just set up their own little NASA shop.
I mean, Fermilab is like in some random suburb, right?
Yeah, but that's next to Chicago.
That's true. Hold on. Huntsville, Alabama. Population. And Google says 194,585.
That's not big.
That's a little bigger than Rockford.
Yeah.
So not big.
But for Alabama, what else is in Huntsville? I'm trying to think other big cities.
Home to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, featuring the Saturn V rocket and space travel artifacts.
Really?
Huntsville Botanical Garden has a butterfly house, mountain trails, azaleas, and stone cabins are the draws of Montesano State Park.
Is that right? Burning Cross Gardens, is that anywhere? Where's that in Huntsville? Is that on the outskirts?
Huntsville, now third largest city in Alabama.
What are the first two?
On track to become state's largest. Well, I'm sure that, no, Atlanta's in Georgia.
Right. Birmingham's in Alabama.
Let's see.
Huntsville. Oh, Birmingham is bigger than Huntsville. Birmingham, Alabama. Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, Huntsville is home to... trailing only Birmingham is 212,000 and Montgomery, 200,000.
Montgomery, Alabama. How did I forget Montgomery, Alabama?
So, yeah, like around 200,000 plus or minus 10 for the top three cities. Wow, those are tiny.
See, you come to this podcast for laughs, and look how much knowledge you get.
How quaint.
Sitting here on a Wednesday, we're learning about Alabama.
I really hope
Alabama.
No one.
Alabama.
I'm really glad this is going live Sunday because I'm flying back Sunday morning. So no one in Alabama will hear this.
Do you think the people from LA, you're going to roll tide? You're going to do a college football game on Saturday?
No.
The Crimson Tide of University of Alabama?
Oh, I know all about Roll Tide.
Do you?
Every time I see an incest joke on the internet, someone just replies with Roll Tide. Every single time. It's like the default response on Reddit.
Why do I laugh at Alabama's stereotypes?
I don't make the rules. I don't make these jokes. I just know that Roll Tide is the standard response for anything borderline incestual.
Quickly, $5. What Steely Dan song references the Crimson Tide of Alabama?
Sweet Home Alabama.
No, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd. Not even close.
Alabama Getaway.
Also, not Steely Dan.
Alabama Slammer.
No, that's a drink.
Alabama Slim Jim.
No, that's a car braking in device and a tasty, tasty truck stop treat. And an act you can get at a truck stop if you're out back.
Alabama Steamer?
No, that's something I don't even want to think about.
Okay.
Had that once on the road. Blocked it out.
Alabama.
No, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call Me Deacon Blue is the answer. Deacon Blue by Steely Dan.
Never heard that.
Wow. Look it up. It's a good song.
I believe you.
I'd play a piece of it now, but then we'd have to pay $18,000.
Have you ever played in Alabama?
Wow. I'm trying to think. I've been all over the South. I don't believe I've been in Alabama. That may have been the only state I didn't. I've done Mississippi, Georgia, Kentucky, the Carolinas, Florida, Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi. No, Alabama, I don't believe I have.
Did you change your act significantly from region to region?
No, I would just, and I know this is going to sound like I'm making a joke, but it's the absolute truth. I talked slower. Because up here, I talked very fast. As people have complained that I do sometimes on the air, I talk very fast.
That's fair, though.
Yes, but down there I would talk slower.
But it's not because people are stupid.
It's just a different way of life.
It is their. It's a slower pace of life.
Yeah. But my material, because it was universal stuff, I mean, talking about family or kids or this or that, it's pretty universal. So I could talk about that stuff anywhere. I just slowed it down.
Wow.
Yep.
Very smart. Yeah, see, we're all not that different.
Oh, we're a lot different.
Unless you're a Republican governor from Kentucky.
Well, we'll get to that.
Which I know isn't next. But
no, it could be next. It doesn't matter. It could be. Again, I have the topics. Where we put them is not it's not a big deal.
Well, did you have anything else to say about Huntsville? Or
No, I hope you come back in time. I know you've been spending a lot of your days getting your things together for work and a lot of your nights ironing sheets. So I'm excited to hear about your trip. No, I kid Alabama. But do I?
It's ironic if you take the point of view that Huntsville or Alabama is not really sciencey, because I'm going to a science communicator convention.
It's
going to
be fun. No, it should be. Do we know the weather down there? I think it's very cold. I think they've been having a lot of unseasonable snow and cold down there.
So if we
in Alabama, I know
we're in Chicago. All right. I'm fine.
Listen, have some fun. Go get some barbecue.
I'll try.
Yeah, get do something.
Meals are provided for the most part.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a mostly all-inclusive conference.
A self-contained conference?
Well, it better be, because we're one of the sponsors.
What are you staying at? What's the top-tier hotel in Huntsville that you're staying at?
Hampton Inn.
La Quinta? Hampton Inn?
Yeah.
All right.
And suites.
Oh, well, sure. Hopefully you get one of the suites. So the conference is in one of their palatial conference rooms there?
No, it's at it's at a very cool space. It's a converted middle school or high school.
Well, sure. No kids are going to school down there, so you got a lot of empty school buildings. I understand, sure. Hey, what are we going to do with all the, you know, them building where the kids used to go all day and waste their time learning about, you know, made-up history? What are we going to do with them buildings? Burn them down? No, we can fleece Yankees and them science types. They like to come indoors. They're all about lights and electricity. Put a couple books in there. We already got one of them buildings. It's called a library. That's where we put the two books. Well, they might have more books, so I think we let them wander the halls there. And then what happens is we get a bunch of nerds in there and Yankees, and we can go pull them fire alarms, watch them scatter like chickens, and then we can hit them with bats.
There you go.
So it's going to be one of those cool spaces.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
No, it's kind of cool. They converted this school into like a conference space, so the lockers are all functional. And
really?
There's like sections.
Did you get a trapper keeper for the conference?
I should.
You should. You should go full, get a lunchbox with a thermos,
I need to get one of those, what's the girl folders that they sell? Lisa Frank?
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, with a cat or something on there,
a
unicorn?
Oh, my God, yes. I need a Lisa Frank unicorn folder.
And you got to get some new school shoes.
And some mechanical pencils. Yes. I never use mechanical pencils.
I hate mechanical pencils.
They never worked.
No, they snap. The lead snaps immediately, and after two clicks, they're done.
Well, you click it twice, and then you start to write on it, and it just pushes back in.
Yeah, pushes back in or snaps, and then you had your little test tube full of lead. You know, the little graphite poles, and you try to put the, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Now the kids at school have Smensals.
What is it? I don't even know if I want to know this.
It's pencils that smell like stuff.
Really?
So they come in.
That's actually not as bad as I thought you were going to say it's like a computer pencil or something.
No, it's they sell them for like fundraisers and stuff. So for like $1 each. And they come in a plastic tube, so they're sealed up, so the scent is in there. And then you take them out, and I'm handicapped, handicapable.
Sure. You don't have a sense of smell.
Correct. But the kids claim that they smell like stuff. And the teachers have banned them because, one, kids freak out if somebody else takes them, because kids will steal other kids' Smensals. And we don't need that kind of distraction in the classroom.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went from, but they still have mechanical pencils too. And every time I get one, I am furious. Because, like you, they do not work. They're just horrible.
Yeah, no. No, it was frustrating. I asked my nieces if anybody passes notes anymore, puts them in lockers. Oh. And they're like, no, we all text.
Oh. How old's your niece?
The one that I asked, well, she had graduated when I asked her this from high school. But I asked my other niece, she's probably 10 or 11.
Okay.
At the time.
And they're texting?
I guess.
I don't know.
Kids, man.
Well, they're not. I don't see any notes. I don't intercept any notes.
Right. The art of the handwritten note is right. Like there was nothing.
Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yes. There was nothing more exciting than opening your locker and having some overly dramatic note from, you know, the 16-year-old you're trying to
drama dripping
get with.
from their flower topped pen.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Did you happen to go back to Alabama? One last thing. Did you see their Alabama state flag?
No.
It's a white background with a red X. Which is how they all sign their name. It's just, who's going to sign the flag? I did. Well, better sign it. X.
It is just a big red X.
It's a big red X on a white background. That's all.
All right. Well, then.
Yep.
To the next.
I hope the sign. I hope these are real NASA scientists, and they don't come in as like two guys who look like the bushwhackers from WWE. Well, besides, we meant we cooked some stuff up in the yard. So here's what we did. I took half a possum and half a raccoon, and I melded them together, and I used moonshine as an adhesive. So I'm the first guy to ever use moonshine as an adhesive. See, so I'm a scientist.
Yeah.
And then once I poured that moonshine on the raccoon and the possum, I lit it on fire. A burning ring of fire, as Johnny Cash would say.
I knew that, Johnny Cash.
Sure. And then it seared them together. Now, they didn't live, or it didn't live, but it screamed for a little bit. So I know there's potential for my hybrid aminals.
Potential.
Like po-awesome. That's right.
Yep.
All right. Oh, it's going to be fun. I had to, I spent the afternoon at an imaging center today because I would love, when you're listening to this podcast, send me notes if you've ever had kidney stones because I had to go get a CT scan today. Have you ever had one of those?
No, it sounds awful.
Where they slide you in. There's MRIs, which are magnetic. And there's a lot of banging, and you're in this tube, and it bang, 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 because the magnets are slamming around. Then there's a CT scan where they slide you into, like, this big donut, and it's some sort of photography that gets all your organs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, and it, see, here's, let's get it. Thank you, Obama, all right, for Obamacare.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. This is not Obama's fault, but anytime any insurance kerfuffle comes up, you gotta blame Obama. Anyway, so I go to the doctor, which you know I don't like to do. I don't like to go to the doctor, but Debbie's hounding me. Because every day I would wake up and I'd be like, ooh, I was in horrific pain for like 3 weeks. And I thought, well, I'm going to blame the mattress. Because it's obvious my mattress is hard and old, and I'm sleeping on it wrong. So that's what's causing excruciating pain in my right side from the front to the back and down into the region. So it's got to be the mattress, right?
Of course.
Sure. Doesn't count that the rest of my body also lays on the mattress, and there's no pain in my head, shoulders, knees, toes, heads, shoulders, knees, and toes, knees, and toes. That's a song that we sing in kindergarten. But finally, last week after we did the podcast, I took my my bag here, my man bag, my briefcase, and I could barely walk. I could barely walk into the house. I was in horrible pain. So I thought, well, I'll take some ibuprofen. That'll do it. No, that didn't do it. I woke up Tuesday, could barely stand up. It was election day, so I sucked it up, but I went and voted, as we talked about. But then Debbie was getting mad at me. Because it's not like I'm walking around the house whining, but every once in a while I wince. I'm like, ooh, or I'll swear as I try to get out of my chair because I'm in this pain. And finally on Wednesday, I said to myself, I got to go to the doctor. But then, of course, I can't get to the doctor because, you know, they're all booked up. You can't get it. I go to a place. I have my own physician at this group. Well, he was booked up, and he's not there certain days. And I was like, all right, I've seen this other doctor. What about him? Well, we can maybe get you in on Friday. All right. So last Friday, I go to the doctor, and I tell him my symptoms. And I'll spare you some of the gory details. But he said, I think you have a kidney stone. That's what it is. So you have to get a CT. Now, here's where the insurance part comes in, because now I've never, you've had tests done before at the doctor, right?
Yeah.
The doctor usually just orders a test, and you go take it somewhere, and they bill the insurance, and then if you owe money, they send you a bill.
Yeah.
That's how it normally works.
Yeah, usually insurance then lets you know, oh, well, we're going to pay for, like, none of that because of some arbitrary dumb crap.
Sure. I think I mentioned this last week with my gallbladder surgery. Yes, we're going to pay for the surgery. We're not paying the surgeon. Huh? All right, that makes zero sense. But anyway, so the doctor says you need a CT, and then he gets upset. He goes, and because they don't think I am smart enough to order a test, we now have to go through this other company. So the doctor submits the order to this third party. This third party then shops around. Even if you have insurance, and I have good insurance, they shop around, and then they call you and give you options. So they'll shop, and let's say option A, they accept your insurance, and your responsibility would be $180. Option B, they take your insurance. It's a little bit farther away. Your responsibility would be $120. So it shows you how screwy the system is, where they gave me four or five options, ranging in price from what I paid today was like $76 out of pocket, up to $400 out of pocket. That was the range for the exact same test. The exact same thing. So anyway, I'm waiting for them to call. They don't call Friday. They don't call me Saturday. They don't email me Friday or Saturday. Monday, now my pain has gotten worse. And I call this third party. I'm like, hey, I was supposed to hear from you guys. Oh, yeah, didn't you get our emails? We emailed you Friday and Saturday. I was like, no, I didn't get your emails. They're not in my inbox. They're not in my spam folder. Oh, all right. Well, I could email you again. Okay. Or I could go over them with you on the phone just in case. I said, why don't we do both? Why don't you email me right now? Tell me the email address. Yes, that's the one. All right. Email me now and let's go over it on the phone. So I'm on the phone with this woman for about 15 minutes. It's now Wednesday. I still haven't gotten the emails. However, we set up so then I tell them, all right, I want to go to this place because they have a day I can go, a time I can go, and it was $76 instead of $400. I mean, I might be in pain, but I'm also still frugal. So I go today, and of course, I get there. They had my appointment, but the place hadn't sent over the order for the test or anything, so it's a big, I call, and I say, hey, it's Brian Noonan. I'm at the imaging place. Oh yes, didn't they get the fax? We faxed them on Monday. I said no, they didn't get the fax. And interestingly enough, I still haven't gotten any emails. And it was the same woman I talked to Monday. She goes, oh, I remember you. You still haven't gotten them? I said, nope. Oh, I have to talk to our tech team because something's wrong. All right, and I know you've all been through this. So anyway, we get it straightened out. She faxed it. I said, fax it right now. I said, while I'm on the phone with you.
Fax it?
They have to fax over the order to the imaging place so that they know that I'm not just some weirdo who wants CT scans of myself so I could sit at home and look at my organs. We go back in. I go back in. Brian is giving me the test. He made sure to point out. He goes, oh, my name's Brian, too. I'm like, cool. So anyway, I go through it, and if you've never done it, you lay on your, like for me, I was on my back, and they push you into this donut, and you hear the camera going, and you have to hold your breath. He said the first two times you hold your breath for about 5 seconds. The machine tells you, breathe, hold your breath, breathe. He said the last one's like 35 seconds. He goes, now, a lot of people can't hold their breath for 35 seconds. He said, so if toward the end you have to blow out, it's not going to ruin the picture. Don't worry about it. Think you can hold your breath for 35 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Go ahead.
I don't really want to do that now.
Do it now. Do it now. I'll keep talking.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? Breathe.
Right. Hold on.
Take a breath. Let's
see.
You'll
hear it. I'm not standing up.
No, you don't have to.
I'm going to stand up.
Why?
It'll be easier if I stand up.
More diaphragm?
Yeah.
All right, well, just hold your breath.
Well, I don't know if I could do it lying down now, but...
Well, how much stretching do you have to do to hold your breath? I was laying on a table.
Got to warm up.
The guy just said, hold your breath.
Okay,
my breath.
You may go on my inhale.
All right. So, I'm holding my breath. The first two times is easy. Second time, I'm holding it, and because I'm trying to count my head, I start to panic. But then as the bed starts to slide out of the donut, I see there's a timer. And now all of a sudden it's counting down, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Now I can, you know, you're only at 24 seconds, by the way. Now, I, you know, once I could see it, I was able to do it. And he said, oh, you did excellent. Let's see, 34, 35. There's 35 seconds. Did you really hold your breath? All right.
Yes.
There you go. Very nice.
Were you, did you doubt me?
Well, you didn't look, you looked like you were cheating.
Dude, back in the day, I could do a lot better, but I haven't been running or working out or doing anything to take care of myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a CD now with my CAT scan, or my CT if you want to come over.
Is this
a CD?
You're just going to accidentally throw in an old air check CD. And
no,
then
no,
end up listening to a podcast.
No, I would much rather. No, because these are the 4 hour, 5 hour unedited. This commercials and everything.
Oh, man.
On those discs.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Let's have a Cars for Kids marathon.
And we did not have commercials back then, if you remember.
Oh, I remember. We aired my commercials. Actually, I've lost a couple of the old ones that I produced, so wouldn't mind getting those. I'm not going to dig through hundreds of hours of old overnight tape.
No, it would be a nightmare.
It'd be funny.
Funniest part of the whole experience, the last part of this story, was when I was done, the guy comes in, he goes, oh, you did great. You okay? I said, yeah. He goes, did you have your gallbladder taken out? And I was like, why is it missing? He's like, well, yeah, it's not there. I was like, yeah, I had to take it out last year. He's like, oh, okay. He goes, but you know what? It's weird. I've had people, you know, I've had people find out they didn't have a second kidney because we did one of these scans. I go, oh, did you know you only had one kidney? And they're like, no, I had no idea I only had one kidney. So my dad didn't find out he only had one kidney till he was about 65.
Wow.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he went in for something, and they did a CT, and they go, you know, you only have one kidney? And then the other one's kind of just like a nub, just hanging there. And he was like, nope. But he made it to, you know, made it to 80 without, you know.
Not bad.
So, I don't know. If you want to have a CT, find out if you're missing anything.
I'm good. I mean, I know my pancreas is worthless, so there, you know, I got that going for me.
It's, I don't know. That is not a good day. That's never fun.
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's whatever.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay or going to be okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be okay.
I'm glad that you survived the experience and that you can hold your breath for 35 seconds.
I survived the CT. That's fine. So then I said, well, when will the doctor know? I don't know. We'll send him the results in a couple of days. There doesn't seem to be a rush. So I guess I'll take that as a good sign. But I don't know if the guy who took the pictures has any, you know, other than knowing that there should be a gallbladder where there wasn't. I don't know if he's capable of making a diagnosis where he should go, you know what, the doctor should probably see this right away. Or just, eh, whenever. Okay. But that's how it works. You hurry up. You got to go see the doctor. You got to stay well. You got to stay on top of it. And then it takes 8 weeks to get something done.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time. I could be dead in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who needs it? Who needs it? I might need to, all right. Should we go?
I have an email address.
What do you got?
With my health insurance provider.
Yes.
I hate my health insurance provider.
Oh, right.
Like a lot.
Really?
Can I name them?
If you want.
It's Humana. I hate Humana.
Why?
They're awful.
Are they?
They're just awful.
I don't know them.
I have a PPO and it's just trash.
Boy.
You never know. It's like playing the lottery. Anytime you go to get any kind of medical care in this country, you never know how much you'll owe.
Oh,
You never know how much they're going to bill you or whether that particular thing that they're doing is covered. Like I went to not an optometrist, but a different...
Ophthalmologist?
Ophthalmologist. I go to an ophthalmologist appointment once a year because I'm diabetic, and they have to check for diabetic retinopathy because I don't want to go blind. Kind of important preventative care. I would put that on the relatively important preventative care. So
it depends. Maybe people don't want to see anymore. Maybe they've seen enough.
That's fair.
So they don't really care about it anymore.
That's fair.
But you, on the other hand, you want to see. You have a lovely wife and a future...
I would like to think those things are true.
And you live up a long flight of stairs. You need to be able to see.
So many stairs.
That's a lot of stairs. So, like The Exorcist lives at your house.
I go to this appointment. Everything's fine. I walk out of there. It says it's covered as always. And then I get some bill for like $400. It's like, well, they used a laser that we determined was not necessary to use.
What?
And it's like, who are you to tell me? Like, I've been going to the same endocrinologist since I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes consistently. She has always said, you need to go to the ophthalmologist. And
right?
I presume I'm going to a doctor that knows what's best for me. So who is this person at the insurance company just like looking through papers? Well, don't know this guy. Don't know anything about him. I see a couple papers. I don't really feel like he maybe needed this.
Lasers?
Like, yeah, right?
He's not going to space.
It's dumb. I hate insurance companies so much and dealing with them. But I can't stand it. But
no, I understand.
I bring it up because it's just the arbitrariness of like what you can do. So
we'll pay for the surgery and not the surgeon.
Yeah.
I will never go back. Or Debbie has this because Debbie, also a diabetic. All right, we're going to pay for the insulin. We're not paying for the needles. Well, what am I supposed to do? Drink it?
What?
Yeah, there have been times where like, yeah, we're not going to, the syringes are not covered. Huh? How am I supposed to administer the drug, you imbeciles?
I can't handle when my endocrinologist like prescribes something or, we could go on about healthcare all day.
We could.
I'm sure the listener can relate because
I would imagine everybody has these problems, and God forbid you're somebody who doesn't have insurance. I don't know what you do.
Well,
when it's such a hassle with insurance.
No, but I was going to say with Obamacare, at least I know a lot of people don't like Obamacare, and I'm not defending it, and I'm not going to get into a thing. But I will say, bare minimum, it is nice that after Obamacare was passed, I didn't have to be full-time employed with benefits to be covered.
Yes.
And some people might say, oh, you could get insurance as a diabetic like before.
No, you could not.
You really couldn't.
Cobra was, if you tried to go with Cobra, you'd have to mortgage your house.
Well, Cobra was $2,000 a month.
Right.
Straight up when I got laid off. Because I got laid off in 2011 from a startup that laid off most of its employees.
Right.
And I had just been diagnosed and I could not, my parents had to basically pay for Cobra for like a month. And then after that, they're like, well, we can't keep doing this.
Right.
You could not get. And like, if I wanted to eat, you need insulin and needles, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Well, and that's why anytime anybody says, well, listen, pre-existing conditions. Yes, you have to cover pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. So.
Because people will die.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's, I mean, why are you being so hysterical? Well, because I live with somebody who, thank God we have insurance, that covers this stuff. But people will, if you don't cover that, because, well, you've been diabetic since you were, long before you got this job and before you got, forget it.
Right. It's like, what's the point of the healthcare system?
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, if you're listening and you're
like, well, you know the point of the healthcare system. Cha-ching.
Yeah, yes.
Making the money. Gots to get paid.
That's a problem. Again, if you're listening, you hate Obamacare. I get it. But I just got to put it out there. You've got to understand the pre-existing condition thing is very important.
Yes.
And there's a lot else that needs to be worked out. There's a lot of bad things. I know some people's rates went up and some bad stuff happened, but bare minimum, happy I get
needles. And a lot of people's rates went up because the insurance companies started messing around with numbers and things like
that. Yeah, whose fault it is God
you
knows.
You know who it is.
It's all about the money, Benjamin.
The 1%, the swamp, swamp full of people that need to be drained.
It's very 1%-y.
It is very 1%-y. Because the 1%-y can cover, they can pay for their stuff out of pocket if they need to. The 1%-y isn't going to look at their options for a test and base it on price. It's going to be proximity and the niceness of the facility.
Yeah.
I went to some guy's garage today. I don't know if it was really a CT. He might have just have a big truck. Tractor tire that I slid through, and he made me hold my breath because he's a sadist. I don't know. But I went with the saving the monies.
Hey, we're alive and relatively healthy. So.
We're alive. That's all. We don't live in Kentucky, which is nice because I knew you would like this.
Yeah, I can't wait for this grand finale story.
Well, I don't know if it's a grand finale. Let me ask you this then before we get to I got to ask you this, your opinion as a youngster, as a millennial, as a kid. Because back in the day, your dad probably thought this way. I know my dad thought this way, and to a certain extent, I thought this way, that when you got a job, you tried to stay at a job a long time. And it used to be, the thinking was, if you moved around too much, you were looked at as somebody who couldn't commit to a job.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who was never happy, it was trouble, and it was going to be down the road, it was going to lead to nothing but trouble as you started, you know, your career. And that's why, you know, people would say, well, you got to stay at your first job for a couple of years, you know, so at least it looks like you put your time in before you start looking. The reason I bring this up, and I want to get your opinion on it, one, because I know because of your age, and two, I know you've moved jobs occasionally because Molly just left a job. She left a job that she had only been on for 6 months. But she didn't just leave it. She got approached about another job, a better job for her, and so she took it. And when she was talking to me about wanting to leave this position, before she got this the offer that she ended up taking, while I support her, of course, and I understand if you're not happy in a job, it's probably worse to stay than it is to leave. But there was this old man part of my head that was like, boy, you haven't even been there a year. You know, you should probably, can you stick it out? And then I, you know, I would hear how miserable she was. And I'm like, I know she can't stick it out, but I worry down the road. And then I talked to some other people and they were like, well, no, if you leave your first job relatively quickly, that's, you know, that's okay. Cause you can always say, well, I went there, I realized this wasn't the path I wanted to be on, and I went to something else. And then if you stay at your next job for a while, then that story makes a lot of sense. Whereas if you're just jumping around like a lunatic, people are going to go, I'm not hiring this guy. You know, he never stayed at a job more than 8 months. So where do you weigh in on this? Because you were in the past, over the years, you've contemplated leaving jobs and taking jobs and all of that.
Yeah, that mentality definitely has come up. I think these days, it's actually weird. I've read that there's a perception that millennials are job hopping more, but the reality is actually the opposite.
Oh, okay.
They're actually
good.
Staying longer, which, but I only read that one place. That may not be true.
Yeah.
So that's what my dad always said, you know, like you were talking about, same kind of belief, don't jump around too much.
Right.
I think it's changing for two reasons. One, I think the younger generation is just more mobile. You can just cut and run anywhere you want, basically.
Yeah.
You know? And two, companies are not treating, there's no incentive to stay at a place for a long time.
That's true. It's not like back in the day where if you stayed, well, like my dad and mom, they stayed with the Chicago Board of Education for 30-some years.
Right.
They got a really nice pension. They had good benefits. Everything was peachy. Friends of mine who's my uncle stayed with People's Gas for forever.
Mm-hmm.
When he retired, very nice package. Another friend of mine's dad was with Standard Oil. Same kind of thing, you know,
yeah.
Or the railroad or whoever you worked for, if you stayed, you got a great pension, you got all this terrific stuff, and it was worth it. And you got your gold watch and a big retirement dinner, and that was that.
Yeah, they cared. My granddad was at the Philadelphia Inquirer for more than 30 years.
Wow.
And, and then I was at a company that will remain nameless a handful of years ago, and they laid off a woman who had been working there for 35 years. And they didn't have her a party. They didn't do any kind of go-away ceremony thing. They literally
goodbye.
Called her into the office. Hey, we're cutting your position. You know, you're done.
Here's a box.
The entire department pretty much rioted after that. I mean,
wow.
Management got it from everyone. It was unacceptable.
Of course it is.
And management apologized profusely.
Well, it's too late.
And in today's environment, it's like, that was a formative moment for me, right?
Right.
I see a woman that's been there for 35 years get just cut. And it's like, you say what you want about the company's interests and goals and all these other things. Like, you can't find anything else for her to do or like work out some kind of like...
Some buyout.
Buyout, something, right? Like anything respectful. So,
right. You humiliate her
back in the
after
day,
35 years.
Yeah. Back in the days, people felt like they owed a company something because the company gave them a reason to. So
yeah.
I think it's changing for a few reasons. And I think that when you look at somebody's resume, that rapid jumping around is only... that if it's constant.
Yeah.
So, you know, I left my first radio job after 1 year to intern at WGN.
Right.
Because I wanted a programming position.
Sure.
Very similar to what your daughter's doing, actually.
Yes.
And look at me now. I'm very happy. You know, I've been here 10 years now. So I did that. But then after you do that once or twice, then it becomes, hey, you better really like this new job opportunity.
Right.
Because you got to stick it out here.
Well, that's kind of what I told her. And I think she will. I mean, the job that she's taken is the kind of job she was looking at initially. That's why she wanted to move to New York, for this kind of job.
Yeah.
And now she's got it in a place that I've heard from a friend of mine in the industry is really good. The people who work there have great reputations. According to Molly, when she talked to the people there, a lot of them have been there for this kind of job 6-8 years, which is a long time for those kind of positions.
Wow.
So, yeah. You know, but that's, I did say that. I go, well, and it's funny, Debbie and I have had this talk today, and we said, well, we won't say it to Molly now, but the first time she starts to complain, we're going to shut her down. Like, you don't get to complain about this one. I understand why you complained about the first one. And yeah, there's going to be days that suck, like every job. Welcome to being in the world. But this is the job you wanted. It's not one you took because somebody told you this was a good way to get into the... No. This is the job. So you don't get to complain anymore.
And I don't think she will.
I don't think so either. I think there'll be tough days. And, you know, to say, oh, today kind of sucked. It was da-da-da-da. That's okay. But... You know, you gotta stick with this one. And it sounds like an environment that she will. That not only will she thrive, but she'll enjoy it. And I had this conversation with a buddy of mine the other day. You know, it's rare that somebody loves their job. There are people who love their job. But there's a lot of people who like their job. And would they like to be on a beach somewhere instead of going to work? Sure. But going to work is not horrible. It's not, you know, they don't dread seeing people at the office. They may be friends with some people at the office, or at least they're friendly with people at the office. Or, you know, you could say, hey, Bob, how's the kids? Oh, good, graduate, whatever. So it's not backbreaking misery. And I think that's what most of us should hope for, just to be able to work in a place that we, you know, it's not the only place we'd rather be, but we don't necessarily hate it. You know, some days we don't want to be there, but most days it's all right. You know, yeah. You know, you may be getting paid, doing what you like, and I think hers will border on that. I think I hope the misery part is gone, because I'll be honest, it was hard to. She was having a hard time.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
It is. It is hard to watch as a parent, but. Now it's all good, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's you know, and when I get the okay to say where she's working, I will share with you. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting.
It is very exciting. So that's pretty cool. All right, let's get to Kentucky, because as you know, we live in a country that is suffering more and more from mass shootings and gun violence and all sorts of violence, but gun violence being the predominant thing that we are suffering from. So much so that I'm throwing you under the bus. Prepare. I wanted to talk about this a little bit Sunday, but we only had an hour show, and Cody's like, we might need to. But this is not what I'm talking about. I wanted to talk about, and someday we will, about how we're kind of becoming immune to this. And now when we go into an environment, years ago I would have never thought to look for the exits. Or try to figure out what would happen if I had to get out. And now it's just kind of second nature. You walk in, you sit down, you look around, and you go, all right, there's a big crowd in here. We thought about it a lot when we went and saw Elton John, because we were sitting all the way. Literally, my back was against the back wall of the United Center. I was up top. And, you know, you got 30,000 people in there. I'm like, well... And I don't dwell on it, but it always kind of crosses my mind. What's the quickest way out? And so we're kind of, I think we've become immune to that. But your point was that you can't talk about that kind of stuff without it turning into a gun control argument.
On the air.
See, here we can talk about whatever we want, because, you know, people can't yell at us till next Sunday when they listen to this. But I'm not blasting guns. I'm blasting how the amount of violence in this country has changed the way we think, so that what was formerly horrible is now every day. And the fact that, you know, while when you were in school and when I was in school, the most stressful thing we had was a fire or tornado drill. And that was, you know, kids would freak out because of the siren. Now, and maybe, you know, back in our parents' day, when it was the Cuban Missile Crisis, when they had the duck and cover drills, which, you know, that doesn't, if you think about it now, that's not really going to be very helpful. But, you know, they had those. Well, now we've got these lockdown drills. That's what we had to call them because I made the mistake last year of calling them active shooter drills in school. That doesn't go over well in front of the children.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's lockdown drills.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, because you know what? You know, and I've done them in first grade, third grade, and fourth grade. Different classes, different times. And it's never easier. But it's also, even now for these little kids, it's becoming part of the deal. Why do we have a lockdown drill? In case somebody bad gets in and tries to hurt us. Okay, what do we do? Well, we all go into the corner, and we hunker down, and we crouch down, and it's dark, and we're just quiet. And I'm like, huh. If we've gotten our children to the point where this is just second nature, all I can see is more escalation. Where, what's the next horror that will become every day? And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But I know you're right. Had we tried to talk about that on the air, even though I've not mentioned once in this limiting access to guns or mental health, that's all we would have heard.
Yeah.
And you bear the brunt of the callers. See, I don't. I never have to take a call if I don't want. You answer them and put them up there. I never have to take them. And I could turn off the text screen and never see the text.
I actually did reevaluate after, and I think we could have just done it without taking calls. Yeah. Because what I think happens, because first of all, I think...
Well, we only had an hour, though, that played a lot into our decision.
That drove the decision, yeah. I think. But let's say, hypothetically, we had a longer show. And
okay.
We could
have, One day we'll have a longer show.
One day, a full show. And you had a half hour to talk about this concern that you have. I think you're very eloquent in stating your points. And I think that a lot of listeners sit back and they listen to what you have to say and they hear it and they process it and they think, oh, that's interesting, or oh, that is a good take. But what I think happens is that 5 to 10% on the fringe in both directions,
sure,
loses their minds, and they're the ones who call.
Well, yeah, sure. So, the zealots are always the ones who have to get their point out.
Right. And what I did is I discounted the quiet listener, the silent listener. Like, I got a Facebook message the other day, like a long, like 7-paragraph Facebook message from a listener who has been listening to us since the overnights.
Oh.
And he has listened to Game Life Balance and has listened to a couple episodes of the Curiosity podcast and has been a big fan of ours for a very long time.
Nice.
He says he was a Republican.
Okay.
Too. He said, I don't always agree with what you guys say, but I've always really enjoyed hearing you guys on the air.
Well, that's very nice.
But I thought, like, this is a guy I didn't know existed,
right?
You know, 2 days ago.
Right. He just listens.
But it's a guy that's like known us for a decade. Like,
yeah.
How crazy is that? So I don't mean to discount. And like, there's probably thousands of people like that that know who we are, have heard
us. Oh, sure.
And I shouldn't discount that just to avoid the handful of insane people that just lose their minds when you bring up anything tangentially related to guns.
Well, the old thought process was only 1% of the people listening ever call.
Yeah.
That was how the industry operated for years and years, where you could say, well, look how popular I am. My phone lines are jammed. Well, what are you talking about, number one? Two, how many of those people call every show, and that's what they do? And three, is that truly a representation of the audience? And to your point, I think the answer to all of those is, or the answer to the last ones is no, it's not a true representation. It's not who everybody is. And I'm glad you brought up the Republican part, because we're about to make fun of a Republican, but I would have made fun of this. When you hear this story, I would have made fun of this story no matter what party this politician is from. And I think you'll see why, because it could happen anywhere, and it's just stupid. But, you know, we try, while I don't think it's a secret where my politics lie, but there... The secret is people try to put it in one camp all the time, and it's not. And if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, and you've commented on this, I tend to be an issue-by-issue guy, you know, where some things I'll be much more left, some things I'll be middle, even skewing toward the right. So when, and I've been called both on the text line. I've been called a right-wing lunatic, and I've been called a snowflake and a liberal hack and all that. So it's like, well, obviously they can't figure out who I am. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I had a call one time, and he's like, yeah, I got to tell this Trumper on the air. And I was
yeah.
like, wait,
I remember
what?
When you said that. Yeah, I got to tell this Trumper, and I'm like, boy, he's not listening to this show.
Yeah.
He called the wrong station. He wants LS. That is, we're not LS. All right. So, but this is, I'm going to be watching this with great interest. How, because thoughts and prayers are garbage. Nobody, come on. We all know that's bull. We all know nothing's really going to change. And unfortunately, I also believe we all know that we are just going to become more numb to this. And it's going to keep going. And I don't see, you know, we have gun control. You know, we have a lot of laws regulating guns. That's not going to stop it. Do we need more funding for mental health? Yes, of course. But even before the mental health cuts, there were crimes like this. There are a lot more now. So you can start to. There has to be a lot more study done in the connection of mental health and access to guns.
There just has to be a lot more research.
Right.
No one has the answer.
Nobody has the answers, but everybody has the answers. The NRA has the answers. The left-wing zealots who want all guns taken away, they have everybody's got the answers, but nobody's got the answers. Because
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. If in school you have all the answers, what do you get on a test? 100.
100.
Right. So if we had the answers, we'd be scoring 100 in society. You know what we're getting? D minus.
F.
Some might say F.
Word an F.
All right. F plus.
There's no such thing as an F plus, I don't think.
Well,
have you ever?
Yeah, no, you fail.
Right.
It's either D minus or you fail.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I was trying to be a little optimistic, going D minus.
Yeah.
We were at like a 70. Well, 70 is passing, so 70 would be D. We were at like a 68.
But 60 is an F, I thought.
Yeah, all right. Well, then we're at 62.
We're not doing well.
No, we're failing. Anyway, so
what
we don't
did
have the
guy
all right,
say?
So here we are. You know, Cody, a lot of people have all different things to blame the spate of gun violence in America. Whether it's a lack of gun control, whether it's mental health issues, whether it's the lack of parenting, all of that. Bad schools, no jobs. You know what it really is? Zombies on TV. Zombies on TV are the cause of all the gun violence in America. That, according to Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. Now, before, he has said that the root causes of mass shootings are children's access to smartphones, video games, and psychotropic drugs. That's what he said before. But now he's amended his stance. You look completely baffled.
I'm
dumbfounded.
Speechless.
But more recently, he has blamed society's obsession with a specific genre of violent entertainment. A quote. Seriously, the most important topic that seems to be in every cable television network, for example, television shows are all about what? Zombies. That was, and quote. He gave that interview to a conservative Kentucky radio host. You know, Leland Conway. I've never heard of Leland Conway, our conservative brother in sound. He would probably hate this show. Hate me for doing it. He'd probably want me burned at the stake. According to Bevin, mass shootings point to deep cultural problems, particularly in a society that consumes daily doses of violence through the media. He acknowledged tying zombie shows to gun violence might be perceived as trite and simplistic. Yes, maybe that's the show he should have been talking to. Trite and simplistic in the morning. In Bowling Green. You think it's trite and simplistic? He argued, though, because, all right, I grant you, you might think this is trite and simplistic. Two words that I just learned how to use. However. However, smarty pants, with your book learning. American culture is, quote, inundated by the worst things that celebrate death, end quote, including forms of entertainment young people consume. These are drips, drips, drips on the stones of the psyches of young generations that are growing up in a society that has increasingly said this is normal and okay, and eventually some of those young minds are not going to be able to handle it. End of quote. Yep, he believes the mass shootings, he believed the causes. He talked about that during an interview. He did not mention the recent shootings in the interview, however. He said there have been incidents in Kentucky. He said television shows and video games had desensitized young people, and their access to cell phones have made them prone to self-harm and depression. Young people, he said, are then medicated with psychotropic mind-altering drugs. Then they watch the Walking Dead, and things get crazy. I added that last part. But yeah, there you go. So we've all got the answers. If we got rid of zombies on TV and in the movies, people would stop shooting each other. Because you watch Generation Z. Is that the one with Brad Pitt? I think that's the one with Brad Pitt.
Maybe.
Yeah, where the fast-moving zombies climbing up a wall, you know, like the caravan. What happened to them, by the way? Anyway, back to the zombies. Uh-oh.
He has... There is some truth in what he's saying. And so you just said yourself that you worry that now we're all being desensitized to these shootings.
That's true.
And what's next, and it will escalate, there is some truth.
You think zombies are coming?
I don't think that this is caused by zombies, and I don't know. I mean, but that's along the same lines of logic of what you're saying, right? If we're desensitized to gun violence now, then what are we going to be teaching our kids?
Well, how many decades have we been saying that video games, and you're a video gamer, I would think that you would take umbrage with that video games have caused all this violence.
I am a gamer, and I don't believe, I think scientifically it's been proven, in fact, time and time again, that it doesn't cause violence. It can actually curb violence, but there is a level of desensitization from media that I don't know the full effects of, right?
Like, well, sure, and the argument is made all the time, you know, you can watch primetime television and see people murdered all the time, but God forbid you see side boob,
right,
or somebody engaged in a fornication.
I do think that American media in general is just too hyperviolent.
Right.
Like, I didn't enjoy the last Tarantino movie I saw in 70mm, Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of, like, brains getting blown out and I don't need that, you know?
Yeah.
And like even the last season of Rick and Morty, like it's a cartoon. The first two seasons are hilarious and genius, and the third season just like a bloodbath in every episode. And it's like, it doesn't make it funny at all, at all to me. And to some people, they think that's hilarious. Like the gore is the joke. So I think there's a grain of truth to the desensitization and the media. Mm-hmm. There's a grain of truth to the drugs. I think that people are over-medicated. And I think
I don't remember... I shouldn't say there weren't any, but I don't remember kids like on all these drugs that I see a lot of little kids, like first graders and kindergarten kids and second graders.
Seriously?
On all sorts of drugs. And I'm thinking, okay, something has changed in our society because behaviors have changed. There's more kids on these, not only ADHD stuff, but behavior drugs and psychotic drugs and kids being hospitalized in first and second grade. And maybe it's because I'm in a different environment now than the one I grew up in. So, you know, maybe this has always been an issue, but it's shocking to see. And you see this happening to 6 and 7 year olds and you're like, okay, what does their future hold? You know, you see the violence and the behavioral stuff coming and the rage and even the stuff that's directed at themselves at this age. And you wonder what does the future hold, not only for them, but for all of us.
Well, I shot a web series in 2011, 2012 with some Columbia College students. And this girl was having a really hard time with stuff. And I went over to like console her after some dramatic thing happened. And she said, I just need to go to the doctor and get some drugs. I just need to go get some antidepressants. It'll take care of everything. Like it'll just fix everything. Yeah. And it's like, no. You fix your problems by working through them. You don't just take a pill that changes you.
No, I don't want to blithely blow that off. There are people who definitely need medication.
Yes.
Medication does help, but in conjunction with the work that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You do have to, you can't just, you can't not see a doctor or a therapist and just hope that the medication itself is going to fix you, because it's not. You have to. It's a whole program. But because I didn't want you to get in trouble for people going, you don't just tell somebody with mental problems to suck it up and
do the
work.
No, of course not. There are obviously very legitimate times and places for that. But what I'm saying is the attitude of a 20-year-old
right.
was pills will fix my problems. And that's not a healthy attitude for anybody to have.
Right.
If you have a serious problem and a doctor tells you that you need to be prescribed something,
right.
then you get that prescription. But you don't approach your problems by saying, I will be fixed by an external chemical. And I mean, I think that all pharmaceutical drugs, almost all pharmaceutical drugs, are far more dangerous than a lot of the quote unquote war on drugs. You
Probably.
Know, like marijuana versus Adderall. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, just, all you have to do is pick up a prescription and see the pages of possible side effects. And I'm not doing the old joke about, oh, man, you hear all the side effects of Viagra. I'd rather, I'll put up with that as long as I have a heart. Yeah, but no, I'm not doing a bit. But it's true. Anything I take, I'm like, man, oh, man, is it worth it? Is it, do I want, well, maybe your lungs will fall out. I don't know if I'm, I don't know if my rash is that important. I think I'll skip the balm. So that I could keep breathing. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I don't know why I jumped to this Republican governor's defense so quickly.
I don't know.
But
you were all about it.
I'm not saying I
know
agree
why.
With it, but
it's because you auditioned for The Walking Dead and didn't get it. You were supposed to be Rick Grimes.
Still upset about it.
Of course. You hold a grudge after 8 years. You want to go all Negan on him.
Yeah. I don't watch
You don't watch The Walking Dead?
I don't know what that is.
Really?
I know what Walking Dead is.
Okay.
I don't,
yeah, that's all right.
Well,
it's gotten bad. You ever have a show like that where you've invested? Like, I've invested, how many years? 7 years in The Walking Dead? And then it starts getting bad, and you're like, oh, no.
The final season of Lost was unbearably bad. And
I didn't watch one episode of that show.
Okay, it was really good for a while. Then the third and fourth season, well, Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, first two seasons, two of the best seasons of television, you'll find. I mean, that's like Breaking Bad level of good. It's so good. And then it jumps the shark, and then the last season is incomprehensible. Like, what just happened? And I heard the final season of Dexter was, like, offensively bad.
I've heard that as well.
And I've heard the second season of Dexter is one of the best seasons of television ever produced.
Yeah, it was a highly acclaimed program.
So, yeah, a lot of shows just can't hang on.
That's kind of why I've been... The Walking Dead, I'm still there. But it's like, oh, man, it's getting harder. Like, last season, awful.
Yeah.
It was just like,
We should wrap up so I see my wife before I leave.
Oh, that's right. You got to go.
Alabama.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, and if you're down that way, do me a favor. Talk
Kentucky.
To people in Alabama. As you go through, you're not going to Kentucky. You're going to Alabama.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to talk about the...
I am, but ask people in Alabama if they think zombies are the cause of everything.
Well, if I see some zombies down there, I'll know the answer.
Well, that would be good, too. Why don't you, you can check into that, see if zombies are there. I will tell you, oh, no, by the time you drop this, I should have mentioned it on the, it doesn't matter.
On the Facebook Live.
Yeah, I hope people heard me last night with Dave Plyer.
I hope so, too.
I hope so, too. If you did, that'll be fun. We will be back, let's see.
A week from today is our full show.
Oh, the week from today is the full show?
Yeah,
the Sunday after Thanksgiving? That's going to be great.
Podcast drops the 18th and our full show the 25th.
We're
going to
have at the breweries. We may have a musical guest. We're going to have a lot to talk about. We will recap Thanksgiving. We will talk to you. It'll be a lot of fun. By the time this drops, you will be home from Alabama, hopefully. You will not have been indoctrinated into some sort of weird, weird movement. You will not come back a Nick Saban devotee. You'll know what that means when you get back. That'll be fun.
Maybe. I might.
Maybe you will.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to listen to Cody's Game Life Balance U.S. podcast right here at WGNRadio.com. Don't forget to spread the word about this podcast. We appreciate you listening. We always appreciate your support. And now we are going to go because we're tired and Cody's got to go to Alabama.